Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me to encourage you to shine the light of God's hope, prophetic fulfillments, our Lord's soon return, the victory Israel is going to have, and the salvation that's coming to the Jews, and so much more, is Pat Hamilton, the producer of VFN Radio.
Hello.
And John Ramos on the skirts.
Hello, hello, hello.
On the skirts of Manhattan in the depths of New Jersey. The one, the only old man hat wearer man. John Paul. Pope John Paul. You're listening to VFN Radio. I want to welcome our new audience members. So many of you are joining us. I'd like to name a few of you guys every time we come together. Welcome Gary and Peggy and John and Timothy and Don and Joshua. Joshua. Leslie and Mason and Rebecca and Sherry and Mary Jo. Tony, Dave, Thomas, Dennis, Lyle, Dazilla. Dazilla. I tried. James, George, Ruth. So many of you guys. Can't name you all, but we just want to welcome you to the audience, the VFN Radio audience, a conversation of hope and encouragement for our generation, for the next generation is going to usher in, I believe, the return of our Lord and Savior. For he said when Israel formed a nation in 1948, this generation will not pass until the Lord returns. We are closer than we've ever been before. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And, of course, joining me is the producer of VFN Radio is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
It is Wednesday. Wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. I want to give a shout-out to Eddie. Just loving what you're doing, man. Excited about all the things that God's revealing to you. We're excited to see what God's going to do in your ministry. Also, we're so excited to hear how God, and you, our audience knows this, if you've been with us a while, that that you heard Pastor Steve Kalaszewski when he launched into Pittsburgh. And since he's been there, I'm telling you, he stepped out on the prophetic word, what God told him every step of the way, and God has blessed him that he found out just by happenstance, by doing what God told him to do, to go to the company that God told him to work with integrity at that company, as unto the Lord, that all of a sudden, out of something, 70-something assistant managers or the management people in this particular company, that in a short period of time of being there, God took him to the top five.
Ooh. Wow.
To the top five were the executives, you know, the big guys. Wow. They're inviting him to have dinner and to be able to share more about the company and ask questions you want. I mean, isn't that cool?
That is awesome.
It's awesome.
Imagine if the whole church abided with God, believe what God said to them, and just did it.
Ooh.
You know, I love what my spiritual father says. Then somebody says, what did you do? How did you do? He says, why? I heard and I obeyed. I heard and I obeyed. And believe it or not, you're going to be a unique person in today's culture if you hear what God says. Obviously, you have faith in because you're going to believe it, and then you're just going to do it. I mean, you're not going to be able to take credit for it. That's how you get demoted. Mm-hmm. But understand that he, if you hear him and obey him, not only will others be amazed, you'll be amazed and want to take notes on what God is doing, you know, in your life and your ministry. Where we bog down is when we hear what God's telling us to do, and then we try to run that through a few people. We try to run that through our logical minds as if our finite minds can understand the infinite, omnipotent God and his ways, and as if our little small part to play in this huge theater of a movie that God is putting together, and we have a small role to play, and we just keep on like, can you imagine being in an opera? Well, no. Can you imagine being in a choir? I was looking at Pat when I was at an opera.
Pat, maybe.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
He is not into opera. But he's in the country. He likes the. It was so. Anyway, we can't get through on music right now. And imagine one person. I remember a particular choir years ago. There was one particular lady. I mean, she could sing really good. And mm-hmm. she was in a choir. And the choir is about just play your part, sing your part, because this is about the totality of the music. It's about, you know, if you're a soprano, sing soprano. If you're a baritone, sing baritone. If you're a tenor or whatever you are, I don't know all that. But you just sing your part. And then when it's not your time to sing, just sit there and smile. Mm-hmm. And ooh. It never ooh. Failed. It doesn't matter what song it was. I mean, she will belt out some, and it's like, and you would focus on her.
Right.
Instead of the totality of what was going on. And it just seemed awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed just to be focused on this one. And she had a couple notes and she sang them well, but it's like, are you going to use them every time? You
know? Yeah, right.
And so it was like, get a couple more. Anyway, okay, we see you sing. We see you sing. And when we start questioning God and focusing on ourselves, we're like that lady who just belts out a tune in the midst of a holistic work by God.
Mm.
And it's a self-focused type thing. And it's like, you miss it. We're characters under a holy God's drama that he's working on, a theater of his love and kindness and compassion that's unfolding in all of eternity from the beginning of time to the end of time. And if we all of a sudden, you know, start wanting to wander off of our part and don't want to memorize our lines and don't want to be able to walk in faith in what he's called us to do, and we start getting envious of other people's parts and say, I want to play that part too, all of a sudden things stop for us.
Ooh.
And not only that, everything that was meant to glorify God now begins to focus on that individual.
Mm-hmm.
And every counseling session is like, you know, I was thinking about me. And I was praying. I said, dear Lord, help me with my things, my stuff, and me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll squeeze in some other things when I get some time, but I wait for the stuff to come to me. And, you know, I was just thinking that I don't make enough money, even though I'm in America, and the poorest of us is richer than 85% of the people in the world. And they're only like 5% of the population. But I know you love Americans more than you love anybody else out there. So I got that down already. I mean, this is an American prayer. This mm-hmm. is, I don't say that. But the operating system, and many Americans, that's the way they think. Well, it's embarrassing because, like, this, you mean that God doesn't love the Indians in India? He doesn't love the Chinese in China? He doesn't love, right. you know, the Arabs in Iraq? He doesn't love, you know, are you serious? That's like, oh my goodness. Play your part. Hush. Shh. Shh. Learn your lines. Play your part. And it's just beautiful. Obviously, you know, nobody's going to really recognize you that much because you're going to blend in with the body of Christ. But with that, this beautiful music, the sound is going to resound from earth into the heavenly realm. We're going to make God's glory known, manifold wisdom known to the heavenly realm. God's going to be glorified, and it's all to him and not to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to all be together in that. And I just want to encourage you this morning, if you're an individual that kind of gets up in the morning and sits on the side of your bed and then you just kind of wind yourself up like a doll, you have this big winder on your back, just kind of wind yourself, and you walked around like a little marching soldier going, what about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? I know this is not right. I've been thinking about me all day, and I know this is wrong, but, you know, it's like, if you know what's wrong, why do you follow that with, but I'm still doing it? That's sort of like a husband walking into a wife says, I know I'm not supposed to be in adultery, but she was beautiful. You know, it's like, come on. What? Don't you see how wrong that is? I mean, you would see that if your husband was doing that, or if your wife comes home and says, I know this is wrong, but, you know, the bag boy, you know, at the whatever. And I guess they do that now, right?
Grocery store. They have bag boys?
I don't even know. I don't know. I mean, we have bag girls. This is a different culture today. And, but you think about it. It's like the husband's like, what? You know, he's like, don't you know that's wrong? But it's right. The American culture is like, I know that you're not supposed to do heroin, but I had to do a few lines today. And it's like, come on. The other side of that should not even be said.
Exactly.
And by the way, the other side of butt is never good. Mm-hmm. It don't matter what you say on the left side of butt, because there ain't nothing right on the right side of butt. Because when you say but at the end of, so it could be some beautiful oracle, just great. I mean, you could be talking about salvation and the manifestation of God's glory and the holiness and revival and how you're supposed to be before God. But if you say but at the end of that, let me tell you what that does. But is a word that nullifies, does away with everything you just said. And what you're saying is, what I'm about to say is what I really believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how a lot of people pull people over, because they just talk forever. You know, I understand where you're coming from, and I can kind of see, you know, how you're going. And inside they're going like, I don't believe this person. And they're kind of going with you like judo, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I was thinking, it's like, oh, everything they just said to you, you know, wash it out. You say, could you hold on a minute? I got to erase everything you just said in my head, because everything you said at this point was good, but you brought your butt into it. And now I got to listen to what's going to happen on the other side of the butt. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, is this a butt counseling session? Are you going to tell me everything is right? I'm talking about B-U-T. But the word butt is a conjunction that nullifies everything afterwards. You remember that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Conjunction, what's your function? Hooking up phrases and making them function.
Oh, wow.
Ands and ifs and buts and... You're probably listening to White Now. Anyway, White Now.
White Now.
Yeah, Snake Nail or something. Anyway, he's saved now. We'll just let it go. Don't even look at the tattoo. You know, listen, you got to live on the right side of the butt. You got to, I mean, left side of the butt. Don't just forget about, don't say butt, and realize too, it's not unfair for somebody to confront you when your butt comes into the conversation, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, when someone comes in and just says, I don't care if they read Genesis or they read Matthew or they read Revelation to you and they said, I'm in agreement with this. And even if they said, so sweet, and they go, but, you know, slam on brakes to say, okay, hold on a minute, let me shake my head like an Etch-a-Sketch, because all of that was nothing but flattery.
Mm-hmm.
You're about to tell me the real deal right now. And you know, plain as day, you know, if your husband came home and says, I know I'm supposed to be loyal to you, and I know we got married 10 years ago, 5 years ago, but, you know, I saw this lady at the store selling perfume, and I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to say, hang on. You're going to forget everything on the left side of the butt.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to say, we need to focus on the right side of the butt, because what you just said is what you're really, and that's for everybody. And America's been living on the right side of the butt. I mean, come on. We say all the right stuff. We sing the songs. We build buildings. We have a statement out there from some of the organizations that says, you know, you're not going to be growing unless you're in debt. It's like, no, you're supposed to owe no man nothing. I mean, if we have debt, we're not happy about it. And we definitely aren't using it for a building program. Anyway, so, but, you know, people will come and they'll be fearful about the debt. And so people will come to help pay on the debt. And they're so fearful that they can't pay the debt. They'll go out and bring people into this building and they'll have more people to pay on the debt. And it's like, oh, we grew. No, your organization grew, but the kingdom of heaven didn't grow. And so we're living on, we got to get off the right side of the butt. We got to go back and say, listen, let our yeses mean yes and our noes mean no. And it's just time for us to be real. I mean, if you live your life on the right side of the butt, but you convinced everybody that you live on the left side of the butt, come on. That's called flattery. That's called flattery. And you're known by your fruit. And your fruit is whatever, you know, what's after the butt.
Mm-hmm.
But if you live your life without a butt, you know, you just say how it is. And there's no, I mean, you should listen to your language. Because sometimes we have some belief systems that we don't really realize that we're undoing what we just did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like we're killing ourselves with our own words if we do that. You know, we have to pay attention. Maybe I've been a butt. Maybe I've been one of those people that live on the right side of the butt. I might say all the right stuff and people agree with it, but they never realize when I transition. They don't realize I say it so nicely and so sweetly and I justify my transition to the right side of the butt that all of a sudden everybody buys into it. And they go, you know what? I've been living my life on the left side of the butt, but I see you say it so sweetly and you say the same things I say. You just added a little bit on the other side of butt, right? So what am I saying? I'm reading from Pat's script. No, obviously this is John's. But you know what I'm saying though? Isn't it frustrating? It's frustrating. Mm-hmm. And there's not anybody more frustrating than the ones who really know how to say but like nobody else.
Mm.
I mean, they're the ones that go, I see your point. As a matter of fact, I can empathize with you. I can kind of feel your pain. You know, Bill Clinton, I can feel your pain. And then all of a sudden in their speech, I was kind of like, you know, but I noticed. And it's like, oh, it didn't matter what politics was on the left side of that or what values was set on the left side of that. What's happening on the right side of that? But I found out in my ventures in the political realm that my values changed and I no longer have Arkansas values. Now I have Washington values. Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy. And it's like, you know, we got to quit falling for people who profess the left side of the butt, but live on the right side of the butt. We got so much in store for you on today's program. Of course, we're going to have the original intent. Original intent. We're going to be talking with more questions on the citizenship tests to see. I think John's already purchased his ticket to be self-exported, you know, from the citizenship test of America. And also, we're going to be talking about the economy. You know, are you worried about your money and your business and your jobs? And also, wisdom month. We'll be right back.
You know, John, I have been so encouraged listening to you and sharing your stories about Elijah and Isaiah and Maya and how you got to spend time with them at one of their baseball games, how encouraged they were with the fact that you were just simply there. Your presence, just being with them, encouraged them. Tell me about that.
Well, that's cool, man. I can understand what you're saying because I feel that way when I know that God is near me.
Yeah.
You know, when I have a relationship with him and I know that he's present, he's not far away.
Mm-hmm.
He's not too far that is, you know, he can't reach out to me, not too far that his eyes are not always on me. And maybe you are listening today and you wish that you had a father to be in your life, or you wish that somebody was there to watch you. I want to tell you that you're not alone. Many of us have experienced the same things in our lives, and we wanted to know more about God ourselves.
Yeah.
But it was a journey. We were all on a journey. Isn't that right, Steve?
Absolutely.
And that journey brought us to a point where, you know what? I want to meet the Father.
That's right.
I want to meet Father God. And so some of us have shared our stories. You know, a lot of it's not pretty, but what is? But what it truly is, it's real.
Mm.
And if you're looking for a story, a real life story that would help encourage you, I want to ask you to find out more at meetmyfather.org, where real people have gone through real things to find the real Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Have you ever been listening or reading the Word of God, and it just seems like you were just reading a math book? You know, there's a lot of books that I've read in my life, and I've learned that there's a big difference between a textbook, a book, and the Word of God. There's a big difference between the Word of God and the God of the Word. And I want to encourage him that if you want to encounter the God of the Word, Jesus Christ, you can. He's not just a few letters in a pages that you don't understand. He's alive, and he's got a plan for you, and he wants nothing more than to spend time with you on a daily basis. He wants to speak to you. He wants to hear your voice, and he wants you to know his voice. Find out more at iabide.org. You know, John, I've been really encouraged, you know, listening to Greg, you know, hearing about his, he's got a lot of direction about wanting to get, you know, start working out again. And I went to a local gym, and they had a membership fee, man. They wanted like $50 a month.
$50 a month.
Yeah. I was like, man.
That's kind of cheap, actually.
Well, my workout plan is just going to work just to save up that $50 just so I can have a membership fee to get into the gym to start working out. I'm like, this ain't working, man, you know? And I'm like, I just can't do the $50. And I was like, I got to find something that I can, you know, that's going to encourage me where there's no subscription fee.
Really?
And I found out. Check it out. You can subscribe VFNTV.com. Become a subscriber. You get more content. You get more messages that'll encourage you. If you're not a subscriber, check it out. Go to VFNTV.com. Become a subscriber.
I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, Mm-hmm. Then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history, mm-hmm. our history started with next step. And it was right. it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got mm-hmm. back to seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had right. to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus mm-hmm. and fill one particular stadium. And right. he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today,
right.
what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to mm-hmm. work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 900, one-sixth of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, mm-hmm. or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium for $1 per person, it looks like,
wow.
Think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be mm-hmm. a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. We'll be right back. You know, I can't help but be so brokenhearted as I was briefly able to glance at, because I couldn't watch for a long period of time, as I saw two small white caskets carrying two of those children into, they did one service for one of the children in Newtown, Connecticut, school shooting there. And then they brought him out, and then they brought a young girl in to have her funeral. And I'm thinking, man, this ought not to be so. This is just horrific.
Yeah, bro.
And, you know, and if you missed Monday, you got to catch Monday, because we, you know, the, I guess the title of course, you have Monday's program that you can listen to, or you can listen to the highlight. It's called, you know, Looking for Answers, you know, beginning, you know, I think it's Looking for Answers with Newtown, Connecticut. Yeah, Newtown, Connecticut, Looking for Answers. And it's just real hard when we're living in the consequences of bad decisions to look back and think back. And it's just overwhelming to think, did we do something in our past that's brought this to our present? It's decisions that I made in the past that I just ignored and never dealt with and just act like it's going to be no consequences. Am I reaping the fruit of that today in my society? It's just hard because consequences are always so horrific. But it's like they only increase if we don't deal with wrong things, if we've done wrong things, if we're making wrong decisions, if we're turning our back away from God. And we have to be able to do the hard work, which is to look back and just go, God, show me. Show me what it is. We don't want to ever see this again. Let this be the last. Let this be the last what we see. Lord, I will own my sin. I will own wrong decisions, and I will acknowledge them before you. Because listen, if in fact, you know, there's sin in our lives that we have not confessed, we have to remember that God will not forgive and he will not forget. That's it. If we have sin in our life that we have not confessed to God, then God, and ask for forgiveness, then God will not forgive and he will not forget. That's just it. But what's so cool, all we got to do is confess it. All we got to do is say, God, forgive me, you know, for I've sinned, and call it what it is and say, you know, I'm wrong. And you're right. Lord, forgive us for the state of our nation and where it's going. The things that we just kind of let loose, the floodgates of all darkness that begin to come and creep into our societies. And we're just pushing parenting over on the teachers of our nation so much so that we're willing to fund the National Education Association more than we're willing to fund and back parents in their own homes to be able to be there with their kids. If we kind of gave that money to parents, you know, in other words, cut the taxes and give it back to them and say, listen, you raised your kids. We'll stand with you, original intent of the nation. And just like Abraham Lincoln learned how to write this president that we so admire and his tenacity and God used to be able to be there at a time of great division in our nation that looked like America might not even stand during the Civil War. He learned he was homeschooled. He learned to be able to read at home. He learned to be able to write at home. He wrote with even just burnt coals, you know, from the fire. And that was common everywhere. I mean, that's where that was common, everybody cooking that way. But it's just, listen, people we admire today and give credit for where we are today, somehow everything that they did in their lives, we're trying to ignore and act like, oh, you know, we're just so much more above that now. We're just so much more intelligent now. Or we're just so much more wiser now. It's like, look what's happening. Look what's happening. Do we really want this? Do we really want it to be written in the history books about us? It's like, what did you do with this freedom? You were the only one in all the world that began with an experiment of a battle that we were literally an idea. And more than ever has America been blessed because of what these idea, you know, of that we're a Judeo-Christian nation, that all of our rights come from God. How can you deny God when our very founding document, that's our constitution, which is the supreme law of the land, says that we operate under the truth that all of our rights come from God, and then we turn our back on them. It's like we're turning our back on our supreme law that rules our land and God. So anyway, I mean, my heart just breaks, you know, it really breaks. And my prayers go out to the parents that are having to bury their children. I mean, that's the worst thing that anybody could ever happen is you to outlive your children. And it's just sad. It's just very, very sad. And our prayers go out to the families. And it's going to be just like, you know, 9/11, just funeral after funeral after funeral. Mm-hmm. But a funeral of children. A funeral of children. And it just breaks my heart. I think about, you know, the economy. And that's one of the things that America's focused on. Money.
Mm-hmm.
And economy. And, you know, we learned from our citizenship tests, as we're learning, that our market is our economy is capitalism. That is how we operate. That's mm-hmm. part of our operating system. If you are wanting to be a citizen of America, you have to take a citizenship test and you have to pass it. And it says that capitalism is our economy. That's our form of economy.
Mm-hmm.
But you see in people that are trying to destroy that.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's just there. The big thing is that money is the answer. That's what it's a money focus. And with a money focus, with an economy focus, we're like 23 million people now plus are without jobs and people are losing their homes. And there's more than that without jobs, but they just quit looking. They just quit looking for jobs. We're the fiscal cliff that everybody keeps talking about that we can see over the edge as we're creeping closer and closer to it. The economic collapse that the Lord has shown us that's in the future, it's not this fiscal cliff. Which is, we're getting closer and closer to it. And America is still focused on money and not God. As a matter of fact, there's a bigger focus on money and not God. And much of the church, too. And we were surprised mm-hmm. to see, because they say 85% of Americans profess to be, you know, Christians, and mm-hmm. which means Christ follower, by the way. And you think at least some of them, you know, would want to go the way of God, not the way of money, but they voted, and this is what they say, they vote their pocketbooks. Well, that's money. That's money. That's another way of saying they voted for money. And we're economy focused. We're focused on money. But what does God say? Jesus said this in Matthew 6:24. He said, "No one can serve two masters. He will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And so when you see a people going towards money, that's the work of our hands, and we're going to do this thing. It's Baal worship, mm-hmm. you know. And with that, it's turning away from God and turning to money. But see, money is a byproduct. Economy is a byproduct. A good economy is a byproduct of a people who's God-focused.
Mm.
And so if it comes after focus on God, then if you're focusing on the economy and not God, you're going to lose the economy you have, because the economy that you're in came because God, there was people in the history of this country that were God-focused, and because they were God-focused and not money-focused, then God gave a byproduct of that and provided for America an economy that just marveled the world, one of the greatest economies that's been seen, and that many mm-hmm. people today are starting to imitate. He goes on to say, Jesus goes on to say about this, explaining how it is a byproduct of a God focus or chasing after God instead of chasing after money. He says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, after saying you can't serve them both, either it's God or money.
Mm.
"Therefore I tell you," this is Jesus, "therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life." Are you worried? Listen, if you're worried, you're money focused, you're economy focused. You're thinking it's over, we won't live, and the earth is going to be destroyed. And, you know, listen, no matter what happens to economies, the church stands. God is forever, and we'll make it.
That's right.
He says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes?" We are so blessed. It's just hard. You know, I'm trying to grasp other times, other seasons, other past decades and centuries. And even in the early, 1900s, you know, when you're looking at before World War I, then we had World War II, we had horrific things happen in those that century. But the way of life was so different. Most people were just, I'm happy that you give me a room in your house, and I'm happy that I make enough money to put some food before me and my family, and life's good.
Yeah.
And that wasn't long ago. Mm-hmm. It wasn't. And the older you get, you realize that wasn't long at all. It wasn't long at all. And in the last maybe 50, 60, 75 years out of the 6,000, by the way, there's been huge transitions in massive ways because of the forms of communication, the ability to spread good news or bad news in the wrong direction so that mankind can more easily be a money chaser, running after, hey, I'm not money focused. I just like to work all the time.
Right.
I don't have time to worship and go to my gathering. I got my job. You know, I've got to earn money for my boat and my cable package and my 15th pair of shoes. I mean, I've got to have all that. Mm. It's crazy. But you get to look at the past centuries and how mankind lived. I mean, it wasn't like this. And we're living like kings in America. Right off the top, you know, 85%, they say, 85% the poorest people in America, and we're only like 5% of the population approximately of the world, there's 6 billion plus people, that the poorest people in this nation, the nation of America, is richer than 85% of the human beings on the face of the earth.
Wow.
I mean, we're blessed, and we're still money-focused. Because when you're money-focused, you're not God-focused, and it's a carnal thing. It's a flesh thing. It's a lust thing. You can never satisfy lust. It's insatiable. You know, your boss gives you a 50-cent raise, and you want another 50 cent. Your boss gives you a $5 raise, and you're looking around to see who else got a raise bigger than your raise. And it's like, just be grateful. You got a job.
Right.
You don't focus on money. Focus on God. He says, therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body or what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. And I encourage you, step outside of your home, outside of your digital distractions, out from under your luxury cars, and look up. Mm. Look around. Go into nature. There's beautiful places in every state. There's somewhere to go, you know, a park or whatever it is to go, and begin to look at the birds. He says, listen, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. Mm. In other words, they're not living like Americans. They're not money focused.
Mm-hmm.
They're not worried about things. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He's feeding the birds.
Right.
And here you are. You can't even look at them because you're so worried about, oh my goodness, you know, my 401k. 401k, you're a wealthy, wealthy person. You're probably in the top 4% of the income of the world.
Right.
If you got a 401k. That's amazing. And he says this. He says, listen, are you not more valuable than these birds?
Mm.
So you can look at the birds and go, wow, they're beautiful. They're being fed. They're having children. They're multiplying, and they're not worried. Yeah. And they just go out, and I'm looking for a worm, and it just happens to be there. Why? Because God made sure there's a worm there.
Mm-hmm.
Pat, it had to have hot sauce, but you know. And he said, listen, look at the birds and look at the and just watch them, these eagles and the awesomeness of God's creation. The birds go, you know what? I'm more important than they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, and we go to islands where there's bird sanctuaries all over it. And there's like, you know, it's kind of nasty because there's droppings all over the place. But there's like, man, how are they doing it? But they just go over the oceans and the gulfs and the seas and they just eat abundantly the fish that are there. He said, this is what he goes on to say. Who are you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Mm. This is what happens. You shorten your life by worrying. You shorten it. You know, you don't add. It's like, oh my goodness. And you're worried about this and you're worried about that. You're worried about your spouse. You're worried about you. You're worried about your kids. You're worried about your parents. You're worried about your school. You're worried about your job. You're worried about your country. You're worried about politics. No, we can get involved in things, but you don't have to be putting your trust in things. You put your trust in God. It's not that you don't get involved and you can speak boldly about them with, you know, truth and love, but your trust is not in that. That's why you can speak truth to power when your hope and your trust is not in that man's power.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're speaking truth and your hope that goes that way, but your trust is in God. Like David says, hey, you know, my trust is in the Lord. He'll deliver me from all men's schemes. And he says, why do you even worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spend. Think about it. You can go to some of the most beautiful, it's a billion-dollar industry, as a matter of fact. The flower industry is. It's a billion-dollar-a-year industry. And putting flowers on tables and flowers delivering them around the world. Mm-hmm. They're so beautiful. But they don't do nothing to be that beautiful. God does it all for them. Mm-hmm. He does it all for them. And they're so, I mean, you hit the right, you know, look of a flower. Some of them are just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just totally amazing. But they don't do anything. They don't do anything to be that. God makes them that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that he makes us. Why are we worried? Why are you worried? And that you'll notice that the terror spirit and the fear spirit is being broadcasted over every channel on your television, on your radios, if you're not listening to the VFN radio, and people's voices and all. And it's a spirit trying to get you to be worried and concerned. And he goes on to say, he says, listen, he's talking about comparing to the flowers, the beautiful fields of flowers. He says, yet, I tell you, not even Solomon, which was one of the wealthiest men on the face of the earth, that God just blessed with awesome wisdom, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like any of these. Not even one of these. Mm. Think about it. The flower, he didn't do squat. He didn't do squat. And Solomon built the temple.
Mm.
You think about it. And they were better looking, more beautiful than Solomon was. And Solomon was pretty awesome. He goes on to say, he says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, oh, you of little faith? We have to look at the birds and go, you know what? My goodness, you got to stop long enough to look at the birds and go, I was looking at the bird, a bird the other day. It was this beautiful bluebird with this high, you know, a kid would have a mohawk looking thing, and it had this like mohawk feathers going straight back and this beautiful beak. And these, I was just like, oh my, how beautiful is that?
Cool.
But next time I'm going to see that bird, you're going to say, I'm more beautiful than you are. You know, if God's taking care of you,
hello,
if you live that long, you know what I'm saying? If you live that long. And so I'm going to have faith and confidence. Very important. Listen, if you're worried about these things, you don't have faith in these things, or you may have little faith. A little faith brings little victories. A lot of faith brings great victories. Somebody says, you know, why are you walking around in a loincloth? I said, I have little faith, but thank God for little faith.
Yeah, at least, right?
Yeah, right.
Get a bigger loincloth.
Yeah, right. This other guy, he's coming sweating. You know, what are you sweating? I got clothes all over me, man. I got clothes. A band of big faith. So it goes on to say, he says, listen, this is Jesus, the Son of God, telling us, the creator of the universe, who sent his Son to speak to us, that didn't say nothing unless God, the creator of the universe, said it. This is what he's telling us today in the midst of all the turmoil and everything that's going on. He says, listen, so do not worry. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Now, this is Jesus. This is what he says. He says, for the pagans. Think about it. Pagans. He says, for the pagans run after these things. It's paganistic. It's a paganistic behavior when we run after money. When we chase money, we're being pagans.
Mm.
We're putting our trust in stuff and things and worship the created things rather than the creator. We're violating what Jesus or the word of God tells us in Romans chapter 1. We gotta thank God for the things, but trust God, not the things.
That's right.
It's paganistic. It's a evil paganistic practice for somebody who calls himself a believer that's running after money, that's worried about this and worried about that. It's like, listen, we overcome. In this life, we're going to have storms. But listen, Jesus said, cheer up. I've overcome this life. It's not for this life alone. We're going to live forever in the presence of God. As the bride of Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, forever. No more sickness, no more tears, no more pain. This whole thing that we're walking out is premarital counseling.
Mm-hmm.
We need to learn how to be a loyal, faithful bride. Can you imagine if you were a husband and you're doing your best to lead your family, but your wife is constantly pacing the floor back and forth. I don't know if we're going to make it. I don't know if we're going to make it. It's like, she don't trust you, sir. She don't trust your leadership. Your kids, can you imagine an 8-year-old kid pacing back and forth? I got the checkbook. I'm worried. I'm concerned. I balanced your checkbook. I don't know. It's like, what are you doing with my checkbook?
Right.
You know, what are you doing with my checkbook?
Mm-hmm.
And it looks so awkward for an 8-year-old to be concerned about the mortgage payment.
Right.
Well, it looks very awkward for any of us to be concerned about things like that. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
And so he says, for the pagans run after these things. What? What am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? Well, you know, running after money and the things the money gets. People are not really in love with money. Most people are just in love with what money gets.
Mm-hmm.
People say, I'm not in love with money, but you got a big stack of things piled up in your closets. And it, as a matter of fact, you know, no, John, you were talking about in regards to storage places in the world.
Yeah.
No, there's storage buildings all over the world where people store extra stuff and all.
Mm-hmm.
And what percentage of the entire world, what percentage of those storage buildings are in America?
Well, out of 58,000 in the world, 46,000 of them, 90% are in the United States.
We have 46,000 out of how much?
58,000
in the world. We got so many stuff and things that we're worried about. I don't know. It's like, oh my goodness, that I wore that blue one last spring, so I don't know if I'm gonna wear the blue one or the yellow one. It's like, what are you doing?
Mm.
Oh my goodness, we got so much stuff that we have more building. We have 90% of the storage buildings in the world, in the world, to store our stuff. We even have programs on TV where people are auctioning off these buildings. You know, I heard that's a farce. I don't know. I saw it on the news. Anyway, listen.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's stupid altogether. It's like, are they having a television program about storage buildings?
Junk.
Yeah. Is this really? And these guys are talking about junk. Before. You know, it's amazing. It's just the new age, I guess, of the garage sale. Anyway, so it's paganistic to run after these things. He said, and this is what he says. This is what Jesus is saying. And your heavenly father, Jesus is communicating to us the love and the concern and the compassion and the heart of God, the creator of the universe. He says, listen, our Father, your heavenly Father knows you have need of these. He knows you need clothes. And somebody says, but he don't know I need a purple one. And it's like, aha. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
So then it has nothing to do with a godly thing. It's a lustful thing. Well, I know he knows I need a home, but he don't know how many square feet I want in that home.
That's right.
Right? And it's like, what are we doing?
All right.
What are we doing? I mean, the birds of the air take scrap, weave it together, make beautiful nests. Beautiful nests. And in that, they have babies. They lay eggs and fertilize eggs, and they grow up, and they raise them up, and they go out and do the same thing.
Mm.
And America is living in more square footage per family than anybody in the world.
Anybody in the world.
And it's called a blessing, but we can't put our faith in the blessing. We have to put our faith in the blesser.
Mm. That's right.
And be thankful for the blessing. This is what he says do then. This is what Jesus, he goes on to say. He says, but seek clothes, drink, things, stuff. No, he says, but seek first. Chase after, if you would. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, the king's dominion. The kingdom of God, Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords.
Mm.
He's king over us. He's our elder brother. He's our Lord. He's their Savior. He's the firstborn from amongst the church, but he's king.
Mm.
And dominion means total control over. And so what we seek is not things, stuff, and whatever. We say, listen, oh, Lord, I want to give myself over to you. Teach me. I want to be your disciple. I want your dominion to be over every part of me. But it says, seek first. Or chase after, if you would. God. Be a God chaser. Stop chasing money. It ain't working. They're printing it. It's not real.
Right.
They're printing it in the basement. It's not real. I'll give you a little clue. Weimar Republic, Weimar. You know, the economic collapse of Russia. Hello.
That's not real.
If we turn and repent and begin to be a God chaser instead of a money chaser, because you can't chase them both. You'll hate one and love the other. He said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. In other words, it's a byproduct. The economy is a byproduct. A good economy is a byproduct of God's people turning back to him and chasing him. And God blesses us and takes care of. You can't chase the economy and say you're chasing God at the same time, but you can only chase one or the other. It's either God or it's money. It's either you know, God or the economy. And everybody's focused on the economy and the fiscal cliff. And it's like, dude, it's going to go down. It's going to go up in flames. It's going to be totally over. And at some point, and it could be the loss of a lot of things if we don't repent. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, how does this work? How can I chase God and God fix the economy? How do I actually let go of all my control and my 15 different jobs and all these things that I'm doing and downsize my state of living? And how does this work? And you're trying to wrap your brain around it. It's called faith, brother. Mm-hmm. You see? It's called faith. It's called faith. He said, oh, you of little faith. It's faith. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith, now, it says now, it's not yesterday, it's not tomorrow. Now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. So Jesus goes on to say this. He says in 34, he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Faith in what? Faith in God. Mm. Faith that Jesus is not a liar, that what he said in Matthew chapter 6 is true, that if I cannot walk in fear and doubt and dread and say that, you know, hey, I'm reading my Bible, bless God, he's going to take care of me, I think, right. You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're walking around in the loincloth instead of being fully clothed. Understand that, listen, it's just faith, it's confidence, that God loves you more than he loves the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, and he will take care of you. But you got to have faith. You got to say, you know what? I don't know how this is going to work. I kind of stopped robbing God, like 97% of the people who call themselves believers, and according to George Barna, are doing robbing God of the tithes and offerings in America. 97%. So that means if there is 100 believers, 97 of them are robbing from God, according to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. So if you're going to rob from God, that's not faith.
Right. Mm-mm.
So you're going to trust God. You're going to honor God in the first fruits because he's going to bless the rest of it. And you don't have to know. Get your head out the way. You're too smart for your own good, because God's wisdom frustrates the intellect of the wise. I mean, you're not going to get it in your head. It's a heart thing. Your brain to you may be something else, but to God is like, you know, cute. Good try. And it's faith, it's confidence that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. He said, listen, don't worry about these things. Go after me, seek me, repent in all your ways. Learn to be a disciple. Those who follow my teachings are really my disciples. Learn what God says and begin to do it. Listen, he said very specifically, James tells us a double-minded man gets nothing from God. You cannot, listen, it is time for the church to line up and say, listen, God, let every man be a liar, every one of them, and God be the truth. Listen, I'm going to trust you. If you clothe the lilies of the field, and they're here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow. And if you take care of the birds who don't do anything, and you care much more about me than them, and I'm not going to be paganistic and run after these things, I'm going to run after you and seek first the kingdom of God, and I'm going to trust that you're going to take care of our economy, at least my economy, if they don't. That's called faith, brother. That's called faith. You can either be a money chaser or a God chaser. Your conversation could be about the economy in America, but your conversation could be about the God that blessed America. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.